Ladies and gentlemen, to another fabulous edition of the Eastwood Show, the lighter side of genocide, on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And we're part of the guerrilla media network of activists and reporters and whatnot. So basically, one thing we try to do here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show is we get to interview people who are incredibly interesting and do very awesome stuff all around the world to do with patriot movements or whether it be new forms of business. Basically, whatever the heck is very, very interesting that you'd never hear, you will hear right here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show through your ears. And in that very spirit, the Christchurch quake. Now, as many of you know, it flattened the city and pushed a whole lot of liquefaction all over the place. All the silt, mud, took out power and, you know, the general earthquake palaver. I think earthquakes have been overdone. Now, some would say that I'm kind of rude to speak like that, but the truth is, earthquakes have been over-reported, over-exaggerated. And even if people have died and the tragedy continues to ensue, by continually reporting of it, I believe that the media winds up causing a bit of apathy by repeating the same old nonsense again and again. But if you hear something new, it makes you feel a little bit different. Live, ladies and gentlemen, we have a man named Jeff, who is from Christchurch. Jeff, welcome to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Hey, one thing, just give us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a bit like yourself in the sense I don't buy the official lies. I run a website, jeffbook.co.nz, which is a bit of an experiment. I'm an advocate of 9/11 truth, and basically anything that makes sense, and an advocate of this show, of course.
Yeah, an avid advocate. Some of you may have seen the videos on Mr. News Guerrilla Media where there's like three different ones, me talking about John Key, me talking about Australians, and what was the other one? Getting to the root of the problem, I believe, were the three video titles. And Jeff had actually gone through the radio archives of the Vinnie Eastwood Show and cut those out and sent them to me as little like segment promos. So I made them into videos. And I thought they were quite fabulous. Thank you, Jeff.
Also, I've got a few more of those on my site. It's pretty easy to find off the front page for anyone who's interested. Jeffbook.co.nz, and it's right there.
All right. Jeffbook.co.nz, ladies and gentlemen, proudly speaking out on 26 AM FM stations worldwide on the Vinnie Eastwood Show at www.thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinnie with a Y. Join us in the chat. We'll be right back.
We can be more than ever before.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back, Jeff, from jeffbook.co.nz. One thing that's really been puzzling me lately is why is it that people split into dissident factions when it comes to truth movementology, or if that's even a word? You know, everybody seems to want to go in all these different directions on issues. And you know, for some part, I agree with that sort of mentality, how you really do need some diversity and you do need to listen to new ideas all the time. On the other hand, nobody gets anything done. Well, there's plenty of people who do get a heck of a lot done. But there's others who just plain don't. And that's the real difference between taking action and just talking about it. How much influence does one word from your voice have? Then multiply that by YouTube, multiply that by mainstream media coverage, multiply that by mainstream radio coverage. You know, you can make a word mean a lot more than it really is just by amplifying it. And that's why people vote for people like Barack H. O'Barry. Because the power of his words, as his eyes and his head flick from teleprompter to teleprompter, are very, very nice and well performed, aren't they? Barack Obama, 2012. Change you can beg for. Authorized by TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hi.
Yeah.
So anyway, these opinions I was going to read out.
Go for it, mate.
Well, here in New Zealand at the moment, we have this SIS amendment bill for the Security Intelligence Non-Service, or the Security Intelligence Disservice, whatever way you want to put it, and they're amending it so they can break new laws. That they wouldn't be able to break otherwise if it weren't for the crimes being legalized. And this is kind of interesting. If you go to 3news.co.nz at the moment, you can find the opinions section. It's usually on the right. And there's something here titled, Should New SIS Laws Be Open to Public Debate? Because they're legalizing the crime of hacking, so now the government will be able to hack into your computer, although they've been doing it for ages anyway. So here on the opinions page, we have some interesting things. There's my comment. But to contrast it, first of all, I'll read out a comment by someone who put their name in as Roland the Rat. He says, what's the point of having a security service if everyone knows what they are up to? Are we that thick? I have nothing to fear from them. I am not a threat to New Zealand, so I do not fear phone tapping, etc., etc. So basically, he doesn't fear losing or giving up his rights voluntarily. And he says, thanks to people who deal in terror, we have now come to this. And then there's my comment where I respond to the question by 3News. They say, this new law increases government power, and the debate for it is not even democratic. It's just done in secret. Do you think it should be open to public scrutiny? To which I say, under my full name, Jeffrey Philip Mitchell, I say here in the comment section, of course it should be open to public debate. Where are we, Iran or North Korea? What this really means is the government is giving itself legal immunity to commit what would otherwise constitute a crime. Hacking is a serious offence, and the government should not be allowed to hack into the computer systems of law-abiding citizens. The Security Intelligence Disservice is a threat to our sovereignty. It is basically an extension of the National Security Agency. That's where the SIS marching orders come from. The government is not taking away the rights of Al-Qaeda members. They're taking away your rights. Don't forfeit your rights just because you don't use them. If you have no political actions to hide, then you still should not give up your rights. There is no compromise. Once you give up your human and civil rights, you'll never see them again. Please, New Zealand, don't be like the German people in the 1930s. The threat of terrorism is overblown. The only threat is the government. The government has a contempt for democracy. They make all their actions secret and all our actions public. If everything has to be behind closed doors, then it makes you wonder what kind of terrible plan they have for this country. National and Labour don't care about New Zealand anymore. The politicians are just lining themselves up for future job opportunities, probably at the UN.
Yep, and the UN now is invading more countries. They're now going into, the Ivory Coast, isn't it? That's now being bombed? Some dude who's like got a disputed election and it's still disputed. We don't know. Apparently the votes haven't all been counted yet. Something missed. Who knows? Who knows? But now the UN is now authorizing bombing Libya, bombing Ivory Coast. And all the conspiracy theorists are all of a sudden going, hey, that we've been saying that the UN's going to start, you know, using their army and all of that kind of jazz to start taking over the world and try and form a global government. Maybe that's starting to happen now. Perhaps we should be extremely concerned. Sorry, what was that, Jeff?
It really is a new world order.
You know, it's just the old world order trying to dress it up as Webster Tarpley says. It doesn't matter how much you dress it up. It's still a terrible fate for anybody, which I wouldn't wish. Now, one thing I'd like to divulge into here, Jeff, for a minute, is the way that the legislation is being rushed through, pushed through, being done in secret and being done with all these excuses. For example, the pretext, the excuse for giving everybody's rights away, for giving the SIS all these powers, power to hack into your computer, the power to bug you and track you wherever the heck you go. You know, this is just the beginning. This is only a template of what the plan is for broader society. Imagine everybody tracked and traced everywhere they go. Okay? Whenever you think about government and legislation that they're passing, bear in mind that they're very limp-wristed. So they'll only do like a little bit, you know, just, oh, darling, can you just give us this bit of legislation here? I'll very, very much love you. Thank you very much. And then they destroy your country. You know, this is how freedom gets lost, because people don't see it coming. They don't see the ramifications of each law and bit of legislation that gets passed. They, in fact, most people, to my reckoning, have no idea that any kind of legislation is being passed or any idea what it is at all. People are so foolish to assume that if they go around their daily lives and fill out a piece of paper and tick a box once every 3 years, that their democracy and their country will remain stable enough for them to live a peaceful, happy life. I don't think so. I think you need to really participate. Some people choose to go into the army. Some people choose to go into politics. Some people choose to do community groups, start websites, do radio shows. Everybody's got a talent. And this legislation really kind of shocks me, Jeff. And but it doesn't surprise me, though. What do you reckon?
Well, it certainly doesn't surprise me. What does surprise me is how gullible people can be. I mean, there's still people saying, well, I've got nothing to hide, so it's not really a problem. Well, if you've got nothing to hide and it's not really a problem, then how about you go down to Immigration New Zealand or Customs and we get them to put on some long latex gloves and search your something or other for explosive devices. I mean, if you've got nothing to hide, it's not really a problem, is it? We could set up checkpoints searching people in these ways all over town, and it wouldn't really be a problem. It would just take a few minutes longer to get into town. I just love the premise that people have. Oh, I'm good. I'm with the leader. I'll just put up with forfeiting the rights of over 4 million people.
Well, you know, everybody seems to be forfeiting their rights. And, you know, this is the thing. It's not isolated to New Zealand, you know. It's happening in America too. I mean, speaking about, like, the Libya and the Ivory Coast invasion, did you know that there are 420,000 foreign troops on U.S. soil at the moment?
I'm pretty sure I've heard something like that before.
Yeah. As of April 2011. To date, there's something very, very wrong going on, and there's something very, very bad planned. Radiation levels, according to the EPA, are now 80 times the amount of I-131 allowed in drinking water. It was a story in from the Intel Hub. You know, it's freaking serious out there, man. And I was talking with Lisa Err from the formerly of the Green Party and the creator of Lisa's Hummus. If you've ever heard of Lisa's, Jeff?
Yep.
Yeah. That Lisa.
Good hummus.
Yeah.
Very good hummus.
Very good hummus. And it was interesting, you know, because we went to a conference where, what was his name? Murray Horton from Kafka, the campaign against the foreign control of Aotearoa, was giving a speech, and I videoed it. And later on, we were having tea and biscuits and whatnot, and somebody brought in hummus, and it was Lisa's. You know, but something tells me that this is not coincidental. The TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is basically the NAFTA or GATT for New Zealand, just like was done to the United States and outsourced all their work, closed down a heck of a lot of their factories and drove down working conditions for American workers, they're now planning to do this to us. You know, they haven't done that yet. But then we're going to start going into, like, all the private health care and all of that kind of stuff where we'll be like the Philippines, where two people died in your family of TB because they just couldn't afford the 150 or 400 bucks to get the medication properly. You know, it's freaking brutal out there, and that brutality is coming to a town near you, I assure you, worldwide. Doesn't matter where you are, believe me. You'll start seeing things that make you go, holy cow. There's people with guns walking in the streets. What's going on here? Well, hopefully not. Maybe that'll be an eventual consequence of a or some kind of a staged uprising. There's, speaking of infighting, Jeff, do we even have any, like, militias or anything, like, resembling a fighting force here in New Zealand that could, like, fight against the government? I don't really think so.
Well, we've got Survive Club. But
Survive Club? What the heck is that?
Oh, well, it's like a... it's like kind of like a... it's just a survival club. It's not really a militia, though. If you look at their promo video, they do they do hunt possums and eat them. And drive very scary-looking four-wheel drives, but they don't really have guns because we have these laws where you can only have weapons that hold this many bullets at a time, and then you have to store them in a way that the government regulates. And if you don't store guns in your house in the way that the government told you to, then it's against the law, even though it's on your own property.
Yeah, well, we've got very, very strict gun laws and all of that kind of stuff. But you know, people still have a lot of guns. Farmers, for example, huge amounts of weaponry. But something tells me that a bunch of farmers with a few rifles could cause an awful lot of damage fighting some kind of guerrilla war.
Well, let's not try.
Well, you know, that's just thinking of a worst case scenario with a bright attitude, you know.
Well, let's get into the best case scenario of dealing with the current problems, because there are two things I see now. firstly, this SIS amendment bill, which is just so obviously wrong. It's publicly, it's there, they're doing it in secret, it's taking away the rights of over 4 million people. And, yeah, I don't really know what to say about it, but I've gone on the record speaking against it, and other people should do the same, because if you give up your rights for the common good, then you're following a major component of the Communist Manifesto. I mean, well, it's in the Communist Manifesto to...
Go ahead.
It's in the Communist Manifesto to give up your rights for the common good.
Yeah. Give up your rights for the common good. Now, how could any common good come about if you don't have any rights?
That's a very good question. I believe that is explained quite well in the Citizens Rulebook from Infowars.com. They say that having rights can lead to chaos. Too much freedom means chaos. And therefore, if we got rid of all freedom, we would have a perfect society, in theory.
In theory, right? So nobody had any rights. They were completely dictated. Everything would be peaceful. Well, that'd actually be correct, because nobody would be foolish enough to try and uprise against somebody with a machine gun. That's the kind of dictatorship that we have to look forward to. I mean, look at London. More security cameras there than anybody could ever lay eyes on. It's unbelievable. Somebody gets photographed several thousand times a day.
So anyway, regarding solutions and things, there's this issue number two that's bugging me. Here in Christchurch, we have just a mainly local newspaper, though it is sold throughout the country. It's called The Press. And they sometimes have a section called Good Living. And I never read it because it's just fluff. And anyway, something snuck under my nose recently, and I didn't hear about it until a week later. There's something about how we need fluoride in the water because, you see, following the earthquake, the water's been contaminated, and we'll get back to this in a moment.
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. My very special guest from jeffbock.co.nz is Jeff Mitchell, and we'll be right back after the break.
I got some so-called friends, smile right to my face, all when my back is turned. They like to bury me without a trace. Oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. There's only one thing I need to know. Who's that? Are you on?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Check out our fabulous archives there, and indeed all the fabulous Kiwi collaborators that we have interviewed, more activists and researchers and politicians or whatever, activists I'd probably say, than anybody else in the country's ever interviewed. It's quite a catalogue. Now, speaking of catalogues of information, the amount of news coverage that has happened with this Christchurch quake is quite immense. But the news people I see are very, very rarely in the eastern suburbs when they're broadcasting, because that is the incredibly badly run down part of town. Now, are they then playing down how bad the situation is? I've seen them talk in reference to the eastern suburbs and maybe a slight amount of coverage, but the on the whole, it's just live reporting from some place that didn't look that bad. With a few police and soldiers with guns and APCs walking around them, you know. That's about the extent of it. And that's all we see on the media. I mean, and on the ground, Jeff, I mean, there's not exactly cameras coursing through every street, is there?
No, and I spoke to my boss the other day, who's had her house basically destroyed and the whole foundation and all the soil's probably destroyed, and she said that the media's just stuck in the CBD, but they're not looking at the major damage in the suburb that's completely screwed, and some people don't have water or electricity. I'm not sure about the latest, but I'm just glad I'm not living on the east side of town. I'm in the rich people's area of Findleton. Actually pronounced as Fendleton, but anyway.
The friend is silent.
No, I was going to mention my solution to the Ministry of Health, because they're trying to amalgamate Christchurch into their big fluoride fortress, the not so fabulous fluoride fortress that they're trying to make this country into. And that, like I was saying before the break, they've said, well, since your water's contaminated after the earthquake and God knows what kind of bacteria is going through all the water pipes into your kitchen sink, we put chlorine in the water, and now that you've accepted chlorine, we might want to add in fluoride. And that was in the good living section of the press. It should have really been in the bad living section of the press. Pushing that.
It should have been in the soon-to-be-not-living section of the press.
Yeah, absolutely. That put everyone's traumatized from the earthquake, and I don't even know if it's worth going out and then trying to hassle people about current events, because everyone will probably just get angry at me. But the Ministry of Health...
Angry footage is the best, bro.
I don't have a camera, remember? but anyway, the Ministry of Health sees this crisis as a great opportunity they can't put to waste, so they're going to try to sneak in water fluoridation, or at least that's what seems to be happening. And my solution to this is, since I'm so sick of them trying to force medicate the entire population of Christchurch, I'm thinking that now I'll just write a letter in the usual format, Dear Resident, with my full name and the subject line and my details on the top right, and just write a letter exclusively on water fluoridation saying, this is complete garbage and Ministry of Health is trying to sneak it in. They're like the Ministry of Stealth. And then when I'm bored of that, I might write another letter, Dear Resident, such and such. I could write about the SIS Amendment Bill. I could do that the following week. And then after that week, there'll be another example of government corruption or wrongdoing or something else to violate our rights or whatever, and I'll have something else to write about. But there's
see,
a fluoridation
what you're talking
issue.
About, see, what you're really talking about, Jeff, is you need to have a local paper to publish an article in every week.
Well, I could just write down with a pen my website address and say, hey, visit this, and I could put that in the mailbox, and people could then access huge amounts of information off my website if I choose to add it, and then I don't have any printing costs.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. And this fluoride issue I've really got to get into, because it really is the best. The Ministry of Health is just sad. It's anyone who has pets knows that the best way to medicate your pet is to always sneak medication in through the food or through the water, because they're stupid. And they won't eat the medication on its own, but if you put it in their water, then the pet doesn't have a choice. And the Ministry of Health is looking at people in Christchurch like they're cats or dogs or something. And we're going to kind of oust this agenda of theirs, kind of like it was banned in Timaru, 2 hours south of Christchurch. Fluoridation was banned there. It's always been contentious. Because one woman just wrote letters, dropped them in mailboxes. They had referendums and people coming to talk about it. Then it was banned in Ashburton, which is about maybe 1 hour out south of Christchurch from where I am. And they're great examples of just one person doing a mail drop, getting a referendum, and then banning water fluoridation. And I'm going to do the same here in Christchurch.
Yeah. Well, you can do the same thing on a small scale that you do on a large scale, you know. It should not be that difficult. And also, out in the eastern suburbs, there should be some dudes in a caravan from, I forget which radio station it is. I had them on as guests. And they've got a little local caravan that is set up as a freaking radio station, mate. I reckon you should cruise down there and do a broadcast.
Well, I'm not sure what that place is. Yeah, and I know there's a community radio station over the hill in Littleton, but this one in the eastern... Actually, yeah, there is
not,
one in
not
the
Not Volcano
eastern.
Radio. Volcano Radio, recently, in fact, now that you talk about the fluoride issue, Dr. Paul Connett from the Fluoride Action Movement, the PhD professor, you know, kind of guy, who fronts the movement.
Yeah.
And he just recently talked here in New Zealand, and I made a video... which is now uploaded to YouTube, of his full presentation and the questions and answers afterwards. And basically, we've now designed up a DVD cover and a label and all of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, Jeff, I reckon we should pop DVDs in people's mailboxes. And it's got a little thing on it that encourages people to copy and distribute them themselves.
Sounds like a good idea. And speaking of DVDs, I've just got John Pilger's film burned to a number of DVDs. I've probably only got about 10. But even so, that's a great film, John Pilger, The War You Don't See. because the reason why the government gets away with so much is because people don't know what's actually happening. And then when you do show them what's happening, all this accountability suddenly catches up. You can do a whole lot all at once. So, yeah, I'm going to distribute those, maybe just stick them in Letterbox.
yeah, absolutely. And people can just watch the video online for free as well, man. So, yeah. I think that it's part of what we should be doing in this movement, Jeff, to kind of support each other in whatever each other's doing in whatever capacity that we can, you know? And you know, if you don't have the time to help somebody else out just a little bit, you know, with something only you can do, then hey, make time. It's got to be done, mate.
Yep. So I'm going to do this letter thing, and actually, come to think of it, DVDs are far too expensive to put in mailboxes, and they take forever to burn sometimes. I reckon the best thing to do is just do a letter drop, put your full name on it, keep it sane and legible, and then offer a DVD, but don't just give it to them up front, because they'll probably just use it as a beer coaster anyway.
Yeah, they might do, but it'll be a beer coaster that has writing on it and stuff like that that everybody would see. You know, it's kind of like the act of giving it out, I think, is a reasonable idea. But it can be costly, though, you know. This is the thing. I mean, unless you have, like, some wealthy, generous donator or you've even got a CD burner of yourself, you know, you can just copy it and flick it out. Print, or you can purchase printed copies or, you know, I can send you the JPEG files and all of that kind of jazz. You know, this is really what we can do now on a home computer, is that we can make a DVD and of a conference in a couple of days and have them printing and available for sale. Now, this is along a train of thought that I'm kind of working on here, is that all of the different problems that we have associated, you know, whether it be fluoride or the search and surveillance bill or the real story about what's going on in Christchurch, and you know, it's just basically because we've got an appalling media that don't report on all the tough stuff. You know, that's why they get away with it, because they're not exposed to the bright lights of publicity. Oh, my goodness. Reporters used to be real nasty. But now they're just kind of flipping and smiling. Go ahead, Jim.
Remember the minister who spent, I don't know what it was, maybe $10 on a dirty film when he was in some hotel? Well, the media went after that guy. Oh, you spent $10 on a dirty film, and, you know, that's $10 of the people's money. But, of course, they make it sound like we should be really angry because it's our money, when really it's just money printed out of thin air at no cost. And then they'll get aggressive over something trivial, like, I know, the Māori Party election spending goes $50 over. Oh, my gosh, they have to have a barbecue and sell sausages to get that money back. But then the media won't go after John Key over the SIS amendment bill because that's just too tough. It's like when Richard Gage came to Wellington in November 2009, he did his presentation. The media just wet their pants and ran away. They didn't want to deal with it. They put it in the too hard basket. But then someone's spending $10 of tax money. That's terrible. We better go after them and harass them. But when the government removes all basic rights and when they get rid of legal principles that make this country great, then no one does a damn thing, except for us.
Yeah. Well, and we're all that's required, Jeff, you know? And as we stand up, others will stand up as well. Everybody needs to realize that they are an inspiration to everybody that they meet, okay? You can inspire people to great acts or to great evils. And if you're a politician, it's most certainly evil. No. The politicians aren't evil. I mean, most likely they're just passive dupes who are trying to do some good and eventually wind up making far too many compromises in order to stay in their chosen career path. It's unfortunate, but hey, that's the way it is. But it's not the way it should be. And the only reason it's staying the way it is, because we're not making it the way it should be. We're not making ourselves the way we should be. We should be up in arms. Nobody should be pushing us around. Nobody should be stealing all our money and selling off our assets. Get this. They sell off our assets and then ask the citizens who already own those assets to buy those assets off them. And then transnational corporations will come in, as they always do, and buy off all the shares from all the mum and dad investors who will wind up not being able to pay the power bills to a power company they once owned and then paid for and then sold and then spent the money. Paying their power bills. You know, destitute. That's what we're going to wind up being. Completely and utterly destitute as a country. When are people going to wake up and understand that the role that they play in their communities is absolutely integral to the functioning of the entire country? Really? You put a pebble into a pond of water and you watch those ripples go wide and far and affect everything around them. You can do the same. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest from jeffbook.co.nz is Jeff Mitchell, our Kiwi collaborator for today. And we'll be right back. Join us in the chat room at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Back in a moment. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Shout out to my listeners in Hamilton who just recently had Rush 89 FM, who were airing the Vinnie Eastwood Show, shut down by the government. I wish I could say I was responsible. I'd take that as a badge of honour, you know. Yeah, but it just came to the end of its licensing, and the government wasn't going to budge. They were bureaucrats, and they didn't want to have a model that worked. They wanted the model that was written down on paper.
No bailouts.
Hey?
No bailouts. Like with 3 News, they can get a loan. because they're the mainstream media, and we need them to be informed. we need them for so we can be informed.
Did you know that TV3 has recently been prosecuted for tax evasion, large-scale tax evasion? And they actually might be just let, they might actually just let them get away with it. I mean, what happened when a whole group of Australian banks were collectively charged for tax evasion of up to 2 billion New Zealand dollars? And they settled out of court. and didn't pay anywhere near the amount of accrued interest and penalty fees and all of that kind of stuff that was associated with owing that amount of money to the country. Because what happens when transnational corporations get involved in your country is that they steal your money. They don't pay taxes and they screw you over. They demolish your country economically. An economic weapon is just as powerful as a nuclear one, except the scars last a lot longer. Now, speaking of economic weapons, my very special guest coming at us live from the most shaken city in the whole of New Zealand, it's Jeff from jeffbook.co.nz. Welcome back.
Yep, I'm still here, I think.
Yeah, yeah. One thing that really obliterates my confidence. Oh, no, actually, no. I didn't have any confidence in the government to begin with. Scratch that. One thing that really empowers my disconfidence in the government is that they keep doing terrible things endlessly. You know, there's unlimited amounts you can complain about. And they're all going on at the same time. I'm like a kid in a candy store. I love to rag on the government. They give me such fabulous material. Good for me, but not so good for the rest of the country. Speaking of the rest of the country, Jeff, how is everybody actually kind of holding up down in Christchurch? I mean, we've got this eastern suburb all completely all up the F. The main business district is shut down. There's going to be a whole bunch of city high-rise buildings and they're going to be controlled demolition. Obviously, they're going to just set small office fires in the top and they'll naturally explode into particleized dust within moments. But otherwise, the economy of Christchurch, I feel, will never recover. You know, it'll cost too much to rebuild. It'll cost more. You know, when you got a car and it's broken down real bad, and it would it'd just be cheaper to scrap it and get a new car. What do you think?
Oh well, it's kind of confusing since I don't really know anything about economics. Christchurch is kind of like a city, but with no economy and with only two malls open, which, it's not exactly great, but hey, our house is still in one piece, even if the whole city's destroyed and no one's making any money, and yeah.
See, it just seems kind of bleak, doesn't it? There's very little positive that you can say.
Well, I live in a part of town that's not trashed, that's positive, but yeah, if you live on the east side of town, good luck with the PTSD by some Prozac. Prozac's terrible.
That reminds me of one of these really terrible American sayings called, sucks to be you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, thank goodness I'm sweet as. But it's a shame about all those other people. Sucks to be them. Seems kind of heartless, man. And I don't know. The whole concept of disaster survival and recovery seems to be this immense challenge that the country faces, and it's going to really leave quite a scar on its history, you know, for a long, long time. I'd like to thank you very much, Jeff, for coming on the show with me today. And you have yourself a fabulous day in the sunny, slave, soon-to-be fluoridated, fabulous capital, Christchurch.
Well, yeah, we will resist. And again, if there's any confusion, the website is Jeff Book, kind of like Facebook, but it's Jeff Book, Jeff with the J, jeffbook.co.nz. I'm always bored. Send me an email. And, yeah, see you around.
All right, there he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Jeff Mitchell from jeffbook.co.nz. That concludes the first hour of the broadcast for today. Coming up in hour number two, if we're extremely lucky, we may have Adrian Salbucci. If any of you have heard of him, I'll explain more after the break. Now, go to thevinnieeastwoodshow.com and join us in the chat room there, and let's have some fun and talk about it. See you later. Next segment.